Okay, ladies, because of our time, we're going to move kind of quick, you know? So you know my preference is obviously for you to come as close as you would, but sit where you feel comfortable. Spread is needed. And I'm glad you're here. So we're going to get going a little bit. Welcome. So glad you're here. Third session. It's a lot of sitting and listening. Is this too loud? Are you overwhelmed? I'm overwhelmed at my voice. Okay, so if you need to, like, stand up, like, you're sitting three times in a row, and I'm feeling for that right now. If you want to stand, if you need to pace, if you need to stretch or, like, wiggle wobble, like, I don't know, like, if it's hard to sit, don't. I don't care. My name is Elizabeth Bondurant. I'm not going to tell you a lot about me. I'm full-fledged crazy. I just say, like, I'm full-fledged crazy. I'm pretty, I feel like a walking disaster, but I'm so glad you're here, and I know Jesus, and I love him and his word. And I'm just so glad you joined. I feel like you might have buyer's remorse. But thanks for coming to be here and spend your time with us. We're going to start, actually, most people I've noticed are doing their giveaways at the end. But I wanted to tie it in, and it's going to be cheesy as we get there. But we're going to kind of start our time with this concept of love languages. You can probably guess where we're going to be headed. And so I was going to tell you, really and truly, my love language, we have ways that we receive love and we feel love, and we also have ways we like to show love. And I am a gift person, you know, in terms of giving. I love to give a gift. I don't like to have a list. I got, like, Sierra's kid's name for Christmas, like we draw names. I don't want a list. I want to, like, go rogue, go shop, and give what I want to give. But because of that, giving away just one book, it's just not my nature. So I'm going to do more. I'm going to give more things. So I have five. You have quintupled your chances for a giveaway. I'm also, okay, I didn't, like, spend money. I have a gift closet, extra Christmas gifts that I had extras in case I saw somebody in the holidays, you know, and was like, oh, yes, yes, I had you a gift. So I had a couple extra little things, and then I'll do those first, okay? It's a little hand lotion and mirror, compact mirror. It was like my happy gift, you know? Let me get a winner. I'm trying to love you and buy your love to start. Susie Albright, are you here? Oh, you are. Oh, I don't have a runner. Here, Amy. Thank you. Forgot about the logistics. She's won two things. Share with a friend if you feel generous and like you want a gift. All right, I got Lisa Kidder. Do I have a Lisa Kidder? Yes, I do. A lotion and a mirror is coming. You can come up here. Breathe on me, nobody else, but I'll take it. My kids have had everything already. Okay, and then next one's the book. The book that I'm giving today is called The Practice of Godliness. Our session is going to be about the practical walking with the Lord. I will disclaimer more in a minute. But the book is this prize. Going to Susan Barrow. Denied. Not here. Katie Barr. Hey, I know you. Katie Barr. Book is yours. I don't care if you grab it later or come grab it now. I'm not walking. I'll trip on the mic. Okay, last two. My little hobby that I have is I'm like the most amateur little painter in the world. But I have a little This Is Love painting. This is a little personal one, okay? I made for somebody. So the grand winner of my painting, may it be beautifully displayed. Is Barry Downs? Miss Barry, you won my painting. You're like, give me. I don't even know what to say. That's like humble pie. Here's a bite of humble pie. He tried to make a Bible verse, and it drew the professional artist. It's yours. It's yours. Pray for me with it. Okay. The last one I have is, this is a little picture of Briarwood Church that I kind of painted, okay? So it's our church. Move over, my mom's saying. Move the ribbon. Well, you can see it. It's Briarwood. All right, Carol Davis. Right here. I hope that you love Briarwood. If not, give it to somebody who does. Okay, so we're kind of starting. I do love to give a gift. I do. And I always wish I could win a giveaway. So it's not necessarily how I receive. I think I prefer to receive like time and help, time and money. Give me time and money. No, in the season of life, I think it's like, you know, I don't necessarily want a gift. That's great, and I love them, but I don't feel as loved as much as time or help. But, you know, we have our ways that we're just innately kind of made. Like, I love to show and to demonstrate that I love you guys, and I want to do that. So where we're headed is the cheesiest of cheesy ways to introduce. But we're going to kind of talk about God's love languages. And that is dumb because I'm not trying to narrow him down. God is love, and I'm not trying to tell you God has the love language of this. But the scripture does show us some of how he demonstrates his love and how he receives love from us. So that's why I kind of thought, oh, I'll tie in the giveaway with the talk. Let me do one last disclaimer before I pray. Nothing today, nothing is new. This is not some great session that you're going to hear this teacher that's going to teach you new information and like shock moments, shock and all, like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that or think about that. That's not what it is. This is a session talking about a topic that is probably just so often assumed that we walk in the Spirit, the walk of a disciple, becoming more like him. It's processes and it's practical. It's not fancy words. It's just practically saying, I think we can often assume it and assume we do it and we all want it and not spend time digging in and saying, but are we doing it? But are we walking in the Spirit? But are we becoming more like him? Because that's not a passive thing. There are passive things, but this one is not passive. So it's not fancy. I'm not fancy, so that's good. You don't want me to do fancy. And it's not new. So if you want to run out somewhere, I'm not offended. I would like to pray and then and ask you just to pray that just that the Lord would take our hearts to a place of, Lord, I want to be more like you. And there's a practical side that's me. Help me see that in a right gospel-centered way. Okay, so pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your grace to be here, for your grace to breathe air, to have friends, to be together, to have your word, to have a church that loves your word and loves us, that we could gather. God, thank you that you tell us about how you love us and you have guided us in your word and how to show our love for you and become more like you. I pray that this would just be an honoring time to you. You would take words out of my mouth and off my page that don't need to be shared and into my mouth that would be your words. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are starting. Y'all, there are outlines and there are little note cards. And if you didn't get one, Amy Latner will find you and give you more if you want to raise and wave. I'm so sorry, Amy. I put her on the spot. She's my friend, and I love her. And I didn't even tell her I was going to do this. There were some little cutesy cards and then some notes. Okay, where we're starting in this whole topic, of course, is with how does God show us love? I showed you love. I said, women, I love you. I brought you extra gifts. Well, how does God show us his love? He shows it in all the ways. That's what I'm saying. I can't narrow it down. Obviously, I'm not trying to put God in some kind of box. But possibly the very clearest is that he shows it through a gift. So I just wanted to be like God today. But he does. He shows it through a gift. We know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son for us. His most prized possession. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he gave us his son. The gift of his son for us and on the cross. And then Jesus gave his life. There was a gift given for us. Very quick, and this has nothing to do with this, but just in this note of just his most prized possession. I have 3 kids, a girl 6, a boy 4, and a girl that's 1. My 4-year-old is currently in Disney World with my baby brother. He's there for, oh, what a mom. I sent off my 4-year-old for 5 days without me for somebody else to take care of him. And my brother kept calling last week, or I called him every day, basically, to talk about, like, well, what if he cries when he goes to sleep? Well, what if, like, what kind of snacks are you going to have? Well, what, you know, all the what are you going to do? And he said, why are you so nervous? Why are you so worried? Like, we're going to take care of him. And I'm like, you get that it's my most prized possession. Like, I have, and it's, there's a difference. Like, I have girls, and I love them so much, I kind of feel like I'd give them more freely, to be honest, than my 1 boy. My 4-year-old boy has a hold of this mama's heart. I scratch his back at night. And I said, Taylor, who would scratch his back? He likes that. He might want somebody to scratch his back. He is my best friend. Does that make sense? And so Taylor's like, I'm trusting you. Well, God gave us, that is a terrible connection, but he gave us his most prized, his son. he let be separated from him and experience hell for us on that cross. And Jesus Christ gave his life. What did that gift provide for us? Just very quickly. We know this. The gift provided the ransom for us. You guys, we are held captive and were, you know, by nature objects of wrath, held captive by our sin. Our sin nature we were born with had us in bondage, gripped, and the price of sin, Scripture says, the wages of sin is death. There is a payment over our head, and it is death. We were just gripped, every one of us, with a payment over our head that you cannot be released unless that is paid. Jesus gave his life, and he died, and he was separated from his Father. The Father gave him to free us, to ransom us. I watch a lot of police TV shows. It's like my thing. Like, I watch an episode of a police show at night, and I see this, and I was just thinking, like, ransom, redeemed. Like, we hear that spiritually. Who's holding us captive? It's our sin. Our sin nature requires death. That is what is holding us for ransom. It is our very nature. And that is why Jesus paid the ransom with death. When he did that, he restored us. We are free to go back to the Father, to have restored peace with God, access to God, full relationship. We get God back. That's the best part of the gospel. If you've never heard John Piper talk about God is the gospel, and the best that we get back is God. We get him back and peace with him. It's beautiful when he talks about it. Okay, the third thing I put on here, that this gift, the gift God gave us, has provided for us, is righteousness. We are never and were never and will never be able to be righteous on our own. We hear this word self-righteousness. There's no such thing. You have none. We have none. We will not. And we'll talk about that more. We are not righteous, but what God's gift provided, his death released us. His life, and I meant to, get on my pages. His life, his righteousness, God put over us. So here we are. We were freed. We were given another's righteousness. So when God looks down, what does God see? Does he see me under here? No. God sees another's righteousness. It's not my own. I love when it talks about the righteousness of another. That's what I hold to. That's what my hope is in. It's another's righteousness, and his gift provided that. It gave us ransom, restoration with God, and righteousness. So now we can be right with God if we confess to him that we need that. We need you, God, to ransom us. We need you to restore us, and we accept his and trust in his righteousness. First and foremost, before we get in, especially because where we're headed is the practical nature of doing, hear me clearly say, if you have never trusted only, 1,000% only, in the righteousness of another, of Jesus and only Jesus, please today I invite you to him. Go to him. That's where you start. Jesus, I trust in only your righteousness. I don't have any. I'll never have any. So you start there, and I invite you. That's more than anything. That's always the beginning. The start in his, receive his gift. Okay? So we have to start there. Now we're moving towards how we show our love and demonstrate our love. The next question I have on the outlines is, how do we grow, though, in our love for God? He gave us this gift. The goal is ultimately to be showing him our love. I'm going to quickly quote. Paige Brown is a Bible study teacher in Nashville, and I heard her say one time in teaching Romans 8, so often, and a lot of, like, in evangelical or me in circles with my background, we get so blessed with hearing about being covered in Jesus, which is true and good, and we're like, yes, we're covered in Jesus, yes. And she's like, that's incredible. That's the good news. She said, but that's not the goal. Sometimes we forget that's not the goal. We are covered. But the goal isn't just to be covered. The goal is to be conformed to Jesus. And I heard Paige Brown say, the goal isn't covered. The goal is conformed. And I thought, oh, wow, that just hit me like a 2x4, because I love covered. I love being covered by Jesus. I talk about it a lot. I love that message. But that's not the goal in the end. The end is my conformity. God has always desired that I be conformed to his likeness until the day I am with him. He has left me here, breathing, alive, waking up, parenting, married, all these things. I'm already covered. If that was the goal, he could take me home. You know, but he's left me here as he conforms me and uses me. So that's why we're moving forward with this, because you can't just stop there. That's not the goal. The goal is to keep going. How would we grow in our love for God? 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died. For the love of Christ compels us." Similar, 1 John 4:19. I'm reading the verses to you for time. I'm sorry. We're not, if you want to flip, they're on, the references are on your page. I promise, I'm just reading them. It's for time. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." His gift had to come first. If we're going to love him, his gift had to come first. We love because he first loved us. We have to receive that before we can truly love him back. It's an order that matters. The gift came first. Now we can love it back. So how do we grow? I want to point you to a story in Luke. Luke 7:47 is in this passage where the sinful woman, what we think is like a prostitute woman, comes. Jesus is having dinner at a Pharisee's house. And y'all, she comes and sneaks in. And do you remember what this woman does at the feet of Jesus? She pours out. She empties her alabaster flask. And pours out her ointment, her perfume on Jesus. And, you know, the disciples, the Pharisees, everybody's like, "Get her out of here, you know, get her out." And Jesus talks to them by saying a parable about people having debts. And a person who had a small debt and is forgiven, sure, they're happy. But a person who had a huge debt and is forgiven, they have joy. And he said, "He who is forgiven little loves little." Similarly, he who is forgiven much loves much. So the first, we're going to go through 5 practical, I'm trying to say practical, steps in loving God and demonstrating our love to God. The first I put on there is to be forgiven. If you have the little note card, it has kind of the little cycle that I made. Nothing new under the sun. I just tried to reword it to be cute for y'all. The first is to be forgiven. He who is forgiven much loves much. If we want to grow in our love, we need to grow in understanding what we've been forgiven. This is the hard news about this that we know, we've already said. But we have had no hope of God loving us or wanting us or cleansing us or accepting us or using us on our own. We're a hot mess. I tell you, I am. It's pretty obvious I am if you know me. You don't have to know me long before you see that. But even our very best things in Scripture, he compares to filthy rags. They're tainted by us and our just wreck and our sin. But he forgave you. This is where we're going. But we've been forgiven of it all. We've been forgiven of much. We haven't just been forgiven a little. We've been forgiven of much. We've been forgiven of our sin, past, all that we have done against God. Every moment we haven't loved him with our whole heart. We're being forgiven present. Everything about us right now that is honoring to God and that misses the mark. We are forgiven future of everything that we will do that misses the mark. So Jen Wilkins speaks to that and answers like, how can God forgive us of all that? That feels just infinite. How can he forgive me of what I have done, what I am doing? It's more than I can comprehend. It's going to keep going till I die. So how could he forgive it? And she says, no, we are finite. God made us finite. We will die. And when we die, we will sin no more. So whereas our sins are many, they are many, past, present, future. They're also finite because they will end. Whereas God, is God finite? No, God is infinite and limitless. So how can God forgive my sins? They're just millions. Because I am finite and he is limitless and his grace is limitless. And so he can forgive, and hear me say, he forgives you much. Past, present, future, every single missing of the mark. That's what he forgives. It's a lot. And we kind of have to sit in that. It's a lot. For our love to be stirred, for our affections to be stirred, and say you, to forgive someone else, to view other, to know that I'm the one that was forgiven so much. I missed the forgiveness talk. I wish I had been there. I cannot wait to listen, but I'm sure Amy spoke to that. So step one is to be forgiven of all of this, our sins. Every single ounce of self-motivation, every single ounce of pride, every single yuck of us and laziness and foolishness, every reckless word, every ungodly thought, just to know the depth of your own forgiveness. It's deep. And if we're forgiven much, we are able to love much. So that's our step one. The second step in growing in our affections for him that I put is to be feeding your spiritual desires. Be forgiven and then be feeding. Frank Barker used to always talk, and when he preached, he would talk about how you have two dogs. You know, you had your spirit dog and your flesh dog. And he'd say, which dog is going to win if you put him in a fight? Y'all remember him saying this? He would say, the dog you feed the most. The one you feed the most, you give the most food, is going to be stronger and it's going to win in the fight. Well, we have the two natures. We have two minds. There is verses in Galatians 5:17. It says the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the desires of the flesh. They are opposed to each other. There are opposing desires, so we have to strengthen our spirit dog, our spirit desires. Romans 8:5 says those who live in accordance with the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The practical here is setting our mind. We have that active role of setting our mind and trying to feed which dog. Who am I going to feed more? That will help feed my desires and my love for the Lord. This would be the place where probably those like means of grace and disciplines would come in. My talk is not really on the disciplines, but there is a role in that we engage in personal time with the Lord, in prayer, in fellowship, in church, in community, because we are feeding our spirit. So we do that stuff to feed us. They do not save you. You go to every Bible study every day of the week. You know, it does not save you or earn you righteousness, but ideally it feeds you. And it feeds that desire to try to increase your affections and of our heart for the spirit dog to win. You know, we want to win. Does that make sense? So we'll be forgiven, be feeding the spirit. That's what we're trying to grow and increase. So now we move into, well, how do we show our love for God? How do we demonstrate it and show him? Is it through our gifts? Is it through our service, like our love languages? Do we serve God? Do we give God gifts? Is it through our words of affirmation? Do we praise him? Is it through our affections? Is it through our time with him? And I just say, sure. Sure. It's all of that. Surely God made us that way. And all these, yes. That's how we love people and that's how we love him. But his word has revealed to us, I would say his preferred love language, right? Kind of his preferred, how do you show me you love me? So we are looking at John 14. If you wanted to open anywhere, then you could open. I'm going to read you a couple of verses out of this John chapter 14. They will be familiar. I'm sure you already knew where I was headed. This is a talk. I know anybody can give it. I could call you up here and you could give this one. But our question is, but are we walking it? Are we living it? John 14 verse 15 is Jesus talking to his disciples and he says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Few verses later, 14:21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. How does Jesus know which one loves him? The ones who obey. How do we demonstrate to him and show that we love him? Through obedience. John 14:23. Again, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. We will demonstrate it if there's truly love there. John 15:14, a chapter later, he's talking to him, it's getting deeper, you know. It's after he says, no greater love has anyone than this. And he lays down his life. And hear what he says. He goes, you are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus calls us, you are my friends if you do what I command. We demonstrate to him our love, our intimacy, our affection for him through our obedience. It is through the practical side. I just think that we can get... I think sometimes we can get so focused on the passive side. Again, I've already said it, but I'm saying on receiving Christ, righteousness, that, and especially, I don't know if it's fair to say my generation, but that we have moved some away from emphasizing, well, what do we do? Do we have a part? What is our role? And heaven forbid, we don't want to be legalistic. And I don't want to come to you legalistically trying to say you're earning anything, because you are not earning anything. But we are moving through trying to become more like him, and we do have a role, and he does want us to love him, and we show him. You know, like, we are the second party in this relationship. We also love him. So that's where we're going. So what are, like, the two practical steps in this of how we can demonstrate for him this love, how we can obey him? Well, the third one is to be fleeing sin. I'll try to do B with an F word. Be forgiven. Be feeding. Be fleeing our sin. The scripture is so clear that there is actually a formula. We think there's not. There is a formula for the transformation, for our sanctification, for becoming like Jesus. He did lay out two steps that he's like, this is the steps to actually become more like me. You be fleeing your sin. You put it to death. You kill it, put it off to become more like him. You put off, we want to throw off everything that hinders us and every weight and encumbrance that entangles us, so that we can run before him. We throw it off. This is an aggressive and an active step. Kill it. So we're saying kill what? Kill anything that belongs to your earthly nature, your former passions, if you are. 2 Timothy 2:22 says it like this. Flee the evil desires of your youth. Think about what we could desire. And the passage goes on to say some of the stuff. You just desire selfishness. Y'all got little toddlers. Just selfishness, you know. We desire it to be about us and just to have what we want and have it now. That's evil desires of our youth, the wanting. There's desires for temporary pleasure, just for not lasting, immediate gratification. Flee it. That's our youth. Desires for pride and to be somebody and make something of ourselves and it be about us. Again, evil, foolish and stupid arguments. That's what he goes on to talk about when he told them to flee the evil desires of their youth. He actually fleshes out and says, stop arguing, like stupid arguments. That's so immature, you know, and he's telling us, flee from that. Flee from divisive and foolish disagreements on things, you know. That is not mature, and that's what we run from. Flee from being unkind. And even in the passage, he goes on to say, be gentle. Flee from being not gentle. That is a foolish and more immature thing to live in a non-gentle. My kids would tell you I am not gentle. So I should kill it and put it off, you know. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:11 speaks of those who chase and love money and are greedy for more money. And it says, but you, Paul says to Timothy, you, man of God, flee from all this. Flee from the love of money. Flee from running after what the world has. We live in a country, by God's grace, it is affluent. We have capitalism. There are things. And the more you have, the reality is the more you can want. And your wanter is triggered to want and to keep up with everybody. Flee from it. Flee from it. It will not satisfy. And it is ungodly. The wanting. There's nothing wrong with anything. I'm not the wanting, you know. Okay, Colossians 3, 5 through 11 says it like this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. It says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of these things. It says, rid yourselves of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Kill it. And then do not lie to one another, you know, but to speak truth, okay? And then the last verse I have in this little section, Colossians 3, for this says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all. Put off all this anger, all this impurity, all the lust. And then at the end he's like, here there's no distinctions. Put off even our lens that could view people at any distinction, like, you're like me. Oh, you're extroverted. Oh, you're this. Oh, color of our skin, neighborhood we live in, the way we school and educate our kids, the way things we do for fun, the churches we go to, the denomination we're in, our preference, you know, all of it. This is saying put off any lens that has any distinction. That's a put off. That's a kill it. So here's kind of the questions I talk about. Is there impurity in your life? Hear me say, kill it. Is there greed in your heart? Say, kill it. Is there anger in your heart? Kill it. Yes, get to the root. Yes. But you know what? Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Is there pride? Kill it. Is there foolishness and stupid quarreling? Flee from that. Flee from that. Is there ungodly speech that comes out of your mouth? My mouth. Kill it. Wrong page. Is there any ungodly lenses on your view of people? Throw them off. And is there any area of deceit in you, any hidden area in your life, any deceit or hiddenness? Bring it to the light. You kill it by bringing it to the light. Okay, but every one of us knows, and probably you're sitting here thinking, but I can't. It doesn't work. I can't just stop. I'm like, I'm a mom of little kids. I'm angry a lot. I'm like, I can't just stop being angry. Like, I wish I could stop being angry. I want to not be angry. I've tried a lot of things. I can't just stop, you know? Like, but that's so good because God told us a more effective way. He didn't say stop. He didn't say just kill it all, put it to death. He didn't stop there, did he? There is the next step, and it's a must. And this is the step I think that we have to dig into the most. We don't just kill it because that won't work. You have to replace it. The scripture goes on to say that we are also going to put on the next thing. You cannot just kill something and leave a void. It doesn't work. We fall straight back into it. We are angry 1 second later. There is no change, no lasting change. So we have to actively replace it. I called this step be following him. We did be forgiven, be feeding your spirit, be fleeing your sin. And then I call this one be following Jesus, because this is the step forward in the direction of Jesus. So that's why I said before, this is the step that is forward in the direction of Jesus. I actually want to look more like Jesus. A couple passages here. Ephesians 4, man, it fleshes this out. And I've heard Bruce Stallings teach on this and just so clearly expound on this put off and put on and what it looks like. But Ephesians 4, I'm going to read 22 through 32, some of it. Says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So listen as he gets specific here. He says, therefore, each of you should put off falsehood, stop lying, and speak truthfully. He didn't say just stop lying. He immediately says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. He says, do the opposite. Fill up your life with what is good, with truth. He goes on to say, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must work and do something useful with their hands so they have something to share. It's not just stop stealing. Do you hear it? It's go work. Do something forward to be more like Jesus. Don't just stop doing things. Stop being bad. Stop sinning. No, it's the practical side of follow and take practical steps to be more like Jesus. That's the side where I want us to be like, yes, yes. I want to be after that together and to help each other. So we need to be doing that. In the same passage, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit. It's not just stop the bad talk or so be silent. No, it's fill up your life with encouraging talk and encouraging words and an intention to look for how to push somebody forward and how to see somebody and notice somebody and speak life to them, you know? It's fill up your life with efforts to the good. There's some other examples I have just from some friends that I have seen do this well in different ways. I had one friend who would talk about when she was engaged to be married and just the struggles, and she talked openly, so I feel like I could share, just the struggles with purity and how when they were practically trying to fight and be like, we're engaged, but we want to have purity, you know. And she said, literally, we just practically decided together, when things get heated up, getting hot between us, she said, we'll play ping pong. He had a ping pong table. She said, it was that simple. They said, when we're feeling like, whoo, liking you, she's like, we play ping pong. We said, okay, time for ping pong. And she said, we played so much ping pong when we were engaged. But it was like, it was so simple. It was not just like, we got to stop. It was ping pong, like, let's have the next thing. So when they had a thing, by God's grace, you know, they walked in purity. So I loved that. I had another friend who, I don't want to give too much away. Okay, was here. Briarwood is an affluent place, okay? And was here and raising children in the public school. Teacher, husband was a teacher. She was a stay-at-home mom. To be honest, like, she didn't have all the things that most Briarwood people have. She was a very good friend of mine. And so she would talk about how, of course, there were seasons that she would go to her husband and just wanted more. You know, like, we don't have what other people, we can't do with our kids. We want more. We wish different. And she said that they had kind of decided, like, when they wanted and when the wanting was growing, that they would sit down and pray about what they could give away. And they were like, man, God, we have got some wanting. We need to be giving. We need to give somehow because we need God to get this out of us. And they said when they sat and thought through and they gave generously, what is right now? We feel the wanting. That means God's calling us to give. What do we think he's calling us to give? And it redirected their focus, and they were incredibly generous. I mean, all kind of things that got practical with the way and the things, the type of things they gave. Incredible. That's putting on. In seasons where we feel complacent, or I know I've done this, like I just, or feel a lack of desire, and I just don't feel motivated. Go share the gospel. I will tell you, and I've done this. I mean, in times when we want a hunger for the Lord or any type of struggle in any of the areas, one of the best put-ons, I think, get in an area where you're going to share the gospel. We have on Wednesday nights people still to this day who go out. You can just go with a small group, literally, and they will take you. You don't even have to be, if you're scared, just go with them. Listen while they go door-to-door or go somewhere and share the gospel. It will snap us out and remind us the gospel is powerful. It is fruitful. It changes lives, and I have deadened to it or been content with other things. So that is a huge, I think for me, I've seen that I'm like, oh, okay, I don't like what I'm seeing. I need to share the gospel. Like that will put on more like Jesus. Okay, in the seasons, and this is, again, where I'm right now, huge thing. It's just in the struggle against self-reliance, and I feel like that. I'm so like, if I feel like I have my ducks in a row, I have my plan, I know who has my kids, I know where they are, if this mom will just help me enough, just help me a ton, I'll just feel okay. And I kind of can just depend on her. Like, if you could just, like, get me through, then I'll just feel like I'm okay with life. And it's just, I want to rely on me, I want to rely on her. And I don't know all the right put-offs and put-ons, but I know that prayer is a huge put-on. So right now, I'm like, okay, if people are praying, like, hey, can I come? I just need to pray more. I had a friend who's at a different church doing like 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I'm like, I'm not going to come, but can I pray? Can I at 6 a.m. every day? Can we text each other? Because I want to just like tell me to pray that, you know, just to like put it on every day. Because right now that's the thing for me. I am seeing this like I would feel so much better about everything if I felt in control, which I'm not, instead of completely relying on him and only him. So prayer. Okay. We're cruising, okay? I promise we are. Colossians 3, we're not going to read this whole thing, but Colossians, again, it had all the put-offs. And then it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, bear with each other, forgive one another, and put on love. I love the way he words it, clothe yourselves. I want to kind of show you, like, if you have received Jesus Christ as your righteousness, remember, He freed you from the hold that sin had. He paid the ransom. He has covered us in his righteousness. He covered you. But this verse says, Ephesians said, put on, and this one says, clothe yourselves. He's given it to us, but he tells us to put it on. He tells us to wear it. We have it, but it's up to us to wear it. And I love that. Clothe yourselves. He's saying, put it on. I gave it to you. I've given you the resources. Put it on yourself. Put on the kindness. Listen to that list again. Clothe yourselves. Put on the clothes of compassion, kindness, humility. Wear humility. Gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Just forbearance and love and forgiveness. Put it on. You know, I was thinking about, I don't know if this will connect, but just how to say it this way. Like, I'm married. I'm married to a guy named Bradford Bondurant. He is so cute, y'all. I have a cutie, and he's home with my girls right now. So I'm married to him, but he gave me these rings, okay? They're not fancy, but he gave me these rings to wear. If I take my rings off, which I'm sweaty, I'm nervous, can I get off? If I take my rings off, am I still married to Bradford Bondurant? Yes, I'm married, but what does it do when I put it on? I put it on. Why do I put it on? I put it on to show you who I belong to. I belong to Bradford Bondurant. He is my husband, and I love him, and I wear this. I don't have to. I don't mean to say that we don't have to in the way we love him, but I put it on because he gave it to me. He gave it, and I wear it. It's up to me to wear it, and it shows, it's an indicator of who I am. So I'm not less his, but it indicates. And that's, God wants that for us. He has given you, he has given us his righteousness. He wants us to wear it. Show that we are his. Remember from the very beginning, he set us up in the garden as his image bearers to show his rule and reign, to reflect the king who reigns. We are his. And when we wear our ring, we wear our righteousness, we are reflecting whose we are, and we are doing that for him. We want to wear his clothes. This is another Jen Wilkin thing that... And Jen Wilkin has a book called None Like Him about the attributes of God. And Christy actually told me this nugget. And I was like, oh, so good. I'm going to use it. But she points out, okay, that God, when we're trying to put on to be more like God, she says, you know, God has two kinds of attributes. God has his communicable attributes. And if y'all have read this, you've seen this in her book. His communicable attributes, the ones he shares with us, his goodness, his love, his mercy, his kindness, his wisdom, his justice. He wants us to be like him. It's communicable. The word means he wants it for us. He is good and just and love and kind and patient. And he wants us to clothe ourselves in that, to look like him. He has given us some communicable attributes. God also has another category, incommunicable attributes, right? That are only his. That God has. God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. God is self-sufficient. Doesn't need us. God is limitless, you know, and he's all-knowing. God is those things. Did he want to share those with us? No, those are his. We are not told to put on his sovereignty, to put on his self-sufficiency. He didn't call me to be self-sufficient. That's what he is. That's not what I am. And I think she just says, we spend our time and our energy, and I think as women, we run after the parts of God, the incommunicable attributes. I want to control more. I want everything to be at peace. I want to be all my ducks in a row. Yeah, we can run after those in our efforts, and those are what we're not supposed to run after. And yet, the ones he has given us that we are supposed to run after are again, his kindness, his goodness, his patience, his forbearance, his humility, all of those, wisdom, run after. Put those on, and it's practical, okay? And we need to get practical with how we do that. I think one idea, I mean, I'm not the one to tell you exactly how to do it. I do think that there an idea is within any type of fellowship group you have, small group, friendship, family, I don't even know how you do it, just community type groups to be asking regularly. Add it in that you ask specifically, hey, what sin are you fighting against this week, right now? And you, that we talk about it. What sin are you fighting against? Are you fighting against some sin right now? And we bring that up with each other. And we say, if we just start asking it, then we're used to it. And we're like, yeah, we're going to see each other and say, hey, what sin are you fighting? Are you fighting sin right now? And then we say, okay, well, with each other, we need each other to say, how can you practically put on righteousness in this area this week? And we need to together, weekly, we need ways that we say, what are you fighting against? Hey, what can you practically do to put on? You know, man, you're fighting against this discontentment. Okay, let's come to your house. Let's look through. Let's think through what are some things we can give away and who might have a need. You know, let's just get practical with each other and in each other's lives in a way that we are trying to put on the clothes he gave us. Randy Pope, I think he teaches the gospel about as clear and as good as anybody. But he has like a circle where he talks about how God, exactly what I've told you really, I took it from him. He gave us his righteousness. And he says, there's no such thing as self-righteousness. You know, we try to be self-righteous and get to God. But he said, no, God gave us righteousness, okay? And then in God's love, he compels us back through the circle, and we demonstrate that righteousness. The biblical word is we put on that righteousness. But Randy Pope's book, and he talks about demonstrated righteousness. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about earning anything. Let me go back. We do not earn. There is no self-righteousness you can earn, put off sin, do enough accountability, be kind enough, be whatever enough, say enough good words, share the gospel enough that would earn anything. Righteous acts, filthy rags. Nothing. However, because you have been given it, and we have it, and we're covered by another's, we can and we should demonstrate it back. And that's the step where I think women need to be. We have to do it because he loved us. Remember, the gift had to come first. And I think we got that, and that's good. We do need to sit in that, and we have to sit in that, and we always have to keep it in light of that. But we cannot not get practical. And we cannot not say, how are we demonstrating it? Move me forward, Lord. Help me move forward. As a young mom, I need people. I'm not young. I have young kids. And so I qualify myself as a young kid because I'm an old mom who had young kids. But I need people that can help me. Like, how can I put on? What do I need to put on right now? Because I could probably tell you a lot I need to put off. But I need help. Help me know what to put on. One more with that I'm just going to share because I saw a face that reminded me. When we were in engagement counseling, Bradford and I sat with Bobby and Jan Parks, and he talked about when you have conflict or when you are maybe like frustrated with each other. And I can't imagine he would ever be frustrated with Jan ever. But he said, we intentionally try to serve the other one. And how I'm kind of frustrated, my feelings aren't happy. And so they did a deed of service. And he would talk about like ironing for her, and like he would like get out the ironing and like iron, and he might start like, not super happy. And then by the end of like ironing, how it's moved his heart back to love. And just that's another, just practically like, just being taught, we need to help each other say, okay, marriage is really hard. We're in a frustration. Okay, let's think practically. And we need to be kicking each other forward. I feel, I'm 2 minutes over. I'm about to pray. I feel that there is, I don't know if I should say this. This wasn't in my notes. Holy Spirit. In the young mom world, I think we are so quick to be like, grace to you. Grace to you, mama. Grace to you. It's hard. Grace to you, mama. And that's true. That's true. We are literally covered in Jesus. There's all grace. And the Bible says, but there's more grace. And it's true. But I think we aren't as quick women as pushing each other a kick in the pants and saying, but the goal is conformity. There's grace. You're covered. Praise God. But kick each other in the pants a little bit with, let's keep moving after the conformity. Is that fair? Do y'all think it's fair? I'm so big on that. If you ever see me, I'm like, grace to you, grace to you. So it's my conviction that I'm like, I don't want somebody to not say grace to you. I want somebody, you know, that's what I want. But I need, yes, grace to you. And now let's put it on. Let's put on the right stuff towards Bradford, towards your kids, we need to put on the right stuff. Okay. Conclusion and final step, 1 minute, finish. Be fully relying on him to do it. Remember that he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, remembering it is him who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. As much as I can put off and put on, there is also at the same time the synergy of, I need to work at this and you have to do this. I need to work at this, putting on your righteousness, and you need to do this in me. It is a synergy to both hands. Our closing verse is 1 Corinthians 15:10. I meant to type out on your notes. I don't remember if I actually printed it. Here, Paul, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yet his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Ladies, that's what we need to be after. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I am covered. I am set free. It is 1,000% and 1,000,000% grace. Yet his grace to me was not without effect. By his grace, I worked harder than all of them. I put this song lyric, I'm not a singer, but we sang last night. I thought it was a God thing because I'd already turned in these notes. Yet not I, but Christ in me. The lyrics are rich. We sang it last night. Play it again with the music. It is just one to pray and pray and pray. It's a both and. Not I, but Christ in me. But at the same time, I want to work harder than all of them to try to put him on and wear him and show off him. Okay, does that make sense? Thank you for coming. We already did our giveaways. If you didn't get, there's a couple more up here. Barry, your painting. I will laugh forever about that. Let me pray and just again hear my heart say thank you so much. I love you all and I love being part of this group with you. Okay? Father God, thank you that you loved us first. Thank you that you tell us this is love. Not that we loved you, but that you loved us. God, we would be nothing without your love. We have nothing without your love and your gift. Please, dear Jesus, would you help teach us that you are our King, God, and that we live for you and help us put on the righteousness you gave us. Help us wear it. Help us wear it more aggressively. Help us wear it without fear that we're going to be legalistic and without ever pushing it to that end who earns us nothing. Yet help us wear it to love you and to look like you. And would you make us women that are conformed more and more to your image and that people see Jesus Christ when they see us. God, thank you again. We pray for your spirit in us. It completely depends on you. And we pray in Jesus' name right now. Amen.